Living Hope Assembly of God.
Well, good morning. Amen. This is the time to really wake up and give me your attention. Amen. Because I'm a little tired. I stayed up kind of late last night, but I think I'm good. Amen. If you will, turn into your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to jump around this morning somewhat, but we're going to stay very close to our text, but we're going to go to various places to give you a overview, really, to bring things into context, to help you to better understand what we're talking about this morning. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. The Bible says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took jars of oil with their lamps. While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept." Pardon me. "But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' The wise answered, 'No, let there not be enough for us and you. Go gather to those who sell it and buy some for yourselves.' But while they went to buy some, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Let's pray this morning. Father, I ask that you be glorified, God, that your word would speak to us this morning in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get in, give you a title this morning, I want to talk to you for a moment. I can remember I grew up in a rural little town in Mississippi, and the high school that I attended there, oftentimes I was a rowdy kid, I'll admit. I wasn't prompt a lot of times because, we just had a tendency of being late for things. But at my school, if you were late, a lot of times you would be met with a shut door to your classroom. How many ever been there? And I knew once I arrived at that door, I knew that it was too late to go into the classroom. I had to go to the principal's office and get a tardy slip. Well, every time, even to this day, it brings back this feeling inside of me, like a nervous kind of feeling, like, man, I'm late again. And oftentimes, I would have these group of friends walking with me, all of us late, and the next thing you know, are about to be late, and we're talking and going along our way, and one of our friends would look, "Dude, we're about to be late, let's," and everybody take off running. And, it's just, at the end of the day, all of us were late for class, and we had to report to the principal's office. I hung around with some bad influence at that time, I guess. I don't know. Also, when my wife and I, we homeschool our children, and for a while there, when we first moved here, we put our children in public school, and we would walk them to the school. I don't know if you noticed, but the schools now they're set up more like prisons, in my mind. They got the glass door. They got the intercom outside of the door, and if you come up with your child and you're late, your child's late for school, they make you look like a bad parent in a way, because here you are rushing up to the intercom, pushing a button, and they're looking at you on the monitor. Hello? I'm here to drop off Asa, Gabriella. One moment. And all of a sudden you the door opens and your kid slips behind this glass door that's a mirror, with you standing there looking at it, and the door shut. This morning, for a thought, if you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. Simple thought. And the door was shut. Like I told you earlier, man, it makes, man, I remember in school when I would walk up to that door and I knew that I was late, it gave me this really nervous feeling in the bottom of my stomach. I knew that I had messed up. And I look in my text this morning, I wonder how those five foolish virgins had to feel when they got back and the door was shut. It was closed. Locked, they couldn't get in. They had done all of that work preparing. They had done all of that work getting dressed and doing all of the necessary things to be a part of the wedding banquet, but they didn't have enough oil in their vessels. In Matthew 24, we see that when you look back in Matthew 24, we see that Jesus, the whole scope of Matthew 24 and 25, we see that Jesus is talking with his disciples about the end of the age and the events that would take place during that time. In Matthew 24 and 3, Jesus is talking with his disciples and he's giving, and they begin to ask this very important question after Jesus had talked to them. They said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? What would be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And I could also remember as a kid, I grew up in the country, like I said earlier, and we would play until the sun had gone down in the day. And I remember in the evening times, a lot of times the sky would give this pinkish, reddish tint to it. And we would always wonder as kids, I wonder if this is the day Jesus is going to come back for the second time. How many of you ever played that, looked at the sky when you were younger and said, "Man, wow, I saw some hands, awesome. I'm not the only crazy one in the house." But I grew up in a church where we believed that Jesus was coming back. Amen. And we preached a gospel that made us at least think about being ready. Amen. But a lot of times what happens is we procrastinate. Amen. We put off. We begin to think to ourselves, like, maybe he's not coming back today. So since he's not coming back today, I can sit back and take it easy. I don't have to be as serious as I used to be. But can I tell you today that we need to be serious? That we need to work out our salvation with what? Fear and tremblance. In Matthew 24, when you look through verses 4 through 31, Jesus made it clear that the end would not come immediately. As kids, we were looking out, and boy, we were looking like, man, he is coming any moment. The sky is pink. Look at how those clouds are looking. Did you see that star over there? That gotta be him. He's coming. I'm serious. This is how we thought as kids. I don't know if we were losing our minds or what. I remember getting on the school bus. We were so frantic about it, and it was such an urgency inside of us as 10, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids that we would get on the school bus that Monday morning after going to church, and we would preach that hell is hot and heaven is real to every kid on the bus. They thought we were crazy. Because we were so aware, we were so vigilant of what we thought was going to happen. Since the day of the apostles, since the day of Paul, since the day of Peter and all the rest of them, guess what they have been saying? That the coming of the Lord is near. Church, we better get it right. The coming of the Lord is near. Do you believe it today? Amen. The coming of the Lord is near. In chapter 24, he says that his coming would be like that of a fig tree. When the fig tree begins to sprout new leaves, we can be assured that summer is near. So too, when we see all these things, that is, the things that Jesus has just described, including the abomination of desolation in chapter 24, and then we see it all in chapter 25, then we can be assured that the season of the Lord's coming is at hand. It is near. It is about to happen. When we look at our text this morning, just how broad is this time frame? What did Jesus say? He said it's that it is one generation in length. In layman's terms, no one really knows. It could happen in an instant. It can happen in a moment. But we do know that his return is imminent. It's coming. It's about to come. But I promise you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're being very slow in a lot of ways about sharing the gospel. If we believe that the coming of the Lord is truly near, there would be a greater urgency inside of the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? There would be a desire to push the gospel out into our schools. There will be a stronger desire to push the gospel out in our community. Listen, if there was a real urgency, we wouldn't be waiting on the pastor and the leaders of the church to put together some kind of community event. We would have an urgency about the coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We believe that the coming of the Lord, and we know there's order to doing any and everything, but there should be an urgency. There should be a knocking on a pastor's door. What can I do to get involved? I got a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus. I got a loved one that doesn't know Jesus. I got a friend. I got an enemy that doesn't know Jesus. What can I do to get them saved? Because the sky is looking pink. The sky is looking red. Jesus is about to come back. Before his coming, we are asked to be ready. In Genesis 7, Scripture makes it clear that not even Noah knew when the flood was going to come. But he was warned and instructed to be ready. In the example of the fig tree, there's a season in which the leaves start to sprout and develop. In that text, Jesus says, so too, when we see all these things, that is, the things Jesus has just described, including the abomination of desolation, then we can be assured that the season of our Lord's return is at hand. I firmly believe that for the believer, we may not know, but there's an eager expectation, a groaning and a longing to be with the Lord. Do you hear me? Paul says in Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. What did Paul say? That we are eagerly awaiting his return. Just off of our lives, just off of who we are, you should be sick of living here on this earth. There should be something inside of every one of us that desires to be with the Lord. I know what stops us from that the desperation. I know what stops us oftentimes from that desire is death. But can I promise you today, the Bible says that it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. You cannot escape it. It's going to happen. So don't fear death. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy grave clothes? Jesus conquered death. Listen, the moment you die, you slip into eternity and you are with the Lord Jesus. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with God. What better place than to be in the presence of the Lord? Example this to is when I have had the opportunity to go to the deathbed of a saint. Have you ever had the opportunity to go to the deathbed of someone who followed Jesus? Have you ever been with them in the moment that they are about to die? Such a glorious moment, even though we're sad and they're somewhat concerned about their family and how things are going to be left and what's going to happen and all of those things. But there comes a moment, I promise you, with my grandmother and other people that I know that has slipped into eternity, there came a moment that they didn't care anymore. There came a moment that they didn't fear, that they were not worried. There was a peace, there was a calmness about those individuals right before they died. And I wonder if, for the believer, should we be like that? Should there be a longing, a desire to be with the Lord when this world doesn't suffice anymore, when you don't care about the things of this world and your eyes are fixed on something greater than what you see? Can I tell you today, your eyes need to be fixed on what you can't see. We have not seen him, but one day we will behold him face to face. Can I get you excited today? Can I tell you that what you're feeling on the inside of you, one day you're going to see face to face. The hope of glory, Christ alive inside of you, one day you are going to see him and he's going to come back and the sky is going to part and he is coming back for his bride. Can I get an amen? Who is the bride? The church. What is this an example of in our text? His second coming. He's coming back, church. The Bible says in Matthew 24:37-38, and this is the scariest place. We see the world today around us, guys. Listen. The Bible says people were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. What I need for you to understand, for years, Noah built the ark and the people continued on with life as usual. I want to say something to you this morning. Just because things look like they're okay might not be okay. Just because things look like everything looks well, peace and safety, everything might not be peaceful. And it might not be safety. Do you hear me this morning? For years, Noah preached, but people continued in their sinful, rebellious behavior. Day in and day out, they ignored Noah's warning until the day that God closed the door to the ark. Have you ever had a door closed in your face? How does that feel? Have you ever been in an argument with the person that you love, a friend, a family, and the door is closed in your face? One of the worst feelings is to have a door slammed in your face by someone that is angry at you, by someone that's in opposition, opposed to what you have done to them. See, on that day, the door is going to be shut. And many ask around the world, would a good God do that? Would a soft, would a loving God do that? Will a loving God close the door on humanity? Can I tell you today that the same God who shut the door of the ark is the same God who is coming back and he is going to judge the world? So what is your position in all of this? What is my position in all of this? My position in all of this It's to be living for God when he gets ready to come. My position in this is to be doing what God would have me to be doing before he gets here. Because when he gets here, it's going to be too late. There will be no dramatic indication that the day or the hour of judgment has come. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, 40 through 41, that two men will be in the field going about their normal daily routine. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Two women will be grinding grain in the mill, just as they normally would. One would be taken, the other one will be left. Another thing, growing up in the country, growing up in rural Mississippi, growing up in a little small town, we had a lot of fields. I was scared. We would be playing in the field, throwing clods of dirt, hitting them with sticks. The thing that worried me the most is that one of my cousins would be zapped out of here and I'll be left. Can you imagine being acres away from your home and all of a sudden the stick drops and your relative disappears? And you're like 10 years old? I was scared. I felt like if he was zapped away and I'm left, I'm alone. I want you to get this in your head this morning, that one day I might be zapped out of here, and I'm praying it's me that's zapped, and you're left. Because if I'm zapped out of here, that means that I'm with who? But once the second coming take place, what else is going to happen? That his spirit is going to leave. That's a scary position to be in, to be here on this earth all alone without the presence of God. There are warnings, there are signs, there are symptoms in the Bible that alerts the believer. There's a groaning, there's a yearning, there's a desire to be with God, because one day the door is going to be closed and he's coming back. Can I get an amen? One day it's going to rain, but it's not going to rain water, it's going to rain fire. Jesus warns that no one can know the day or the hour that the Lord will come. We must be constantly in a state of alertness, ready at any moment. My question this morning to you, are you ready? Are you eagerly? No, really, because next week we're going to continue with this message. And I need to know, as a pastor, as a leader, are you ready? Or are you just doing church? Are you just going through the routine? Next week, we're going to talk about some individuals that thought they had it ready, that thought they had it together. Can I tell you, it's going to be a close call for many of us. For many of us, we're going to get there, but we're going to get there smelling like smoke. Barely making it in. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33, Jesus tells us that we must count the cost. Have you counted the cost? In other words, are you ready? Are you prepared to do and to be what it takes to be a follower of his? In Matthew 24, 42 through 44, Jesus tells another parable about being ready. He says, if the owner of the house, of the home, had known the hour when the burglary would occur, he would have made sure to prevent it. But in fact, he did not know the hour. One might even infer that he was not even aware that a burglary would take place. And when we see that, thus it caught him off guard. And this was to his loss that he was caught off guard. So here in the 21st century, we buy guns. We keep them in our home. We buy alarm systems. We keep them. Huntel. whatever else, ATD. We have things to protect us. We need to keep ATD, the Bible, in our home. In fact, we don't need to just keep it in our home, but we need to hide it in our heart. Concealed carrier. Concealed carrier of God's word inside of your heart. Are you a concealed carrier? You better be. Because the enemy's going to come at a time that you are unaware. God is going to come at a time that you are unaware. And you're going to have to give an account for what you've done in this body. You're not going to be judged by his love, but you're going to be judged by his commandments. You're going to be judged by the word of God. Are you ready before the door is closed? Are you ready, church? Here in our text this morning, the Bible says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil in them. But the wise took jars of oil with their lamps. So that tells me not only did they have their lamps full, had extra. They had jars. We talked about fishing last week. When you go fishing, bring your own bait. Why do you go fishing and expect me to have the bait? Why would they feel like it was okay? Why do we feel like it's okay to say peace and safety? Why do we feel like it's okay to do things that we know are utterly sinful as if God is not watching? Listen, you don't need to respect me. You need to respect God. It's God who we're going to give an account to. The Bible says, don't fear the one who could kill the body, but fear the one who could not only kill the body, but throw the soul in hell. That's a scary place. I don't want to go there, but in order not to go there, I got to be ready. In order for the door not to be closed, there's something that needs to be done inside of my life, inside of my heart, inside of my mind. Am I going to be perfect? No, not by far. It's a position. The Bible says, while the bridegroom delayed, in verse 5, chapter 25, he said, while the bridegroom delayed, somebody say delayed. It means that he hadn't yet come. Man, a lot of us, when we're waiting on someone who's typically late, we start to relax. Man, they're not coming. I got a best friend. He would come late to everything, picking me up. Next thing you know, I would take my shoes off, and I would put back on my regular going around the house kind of attire. And he would pull up 20 or 30 minutes late. You ready? No, I'm not ready. I've changed clothes now because I thought you were not going to come. How many of us have spiritually changed clothes because we're not expecting Christ to come? We've taken off the robe of righteousness and we put back on the garment of selfishness and pride and conceit. Am I preaching too hard this morning? I hope that I'm penetrating the hearts of every believer so that we would open our eyes so that we could be eagerly expecting. Paul was eagerly expecting the coming of the Lord. Those people fixed their minds and their hearts. They were waiting on Christ and they expected him to come back any moment. Chapter 24 and 25 is a message to Christ's disciples, and thus, it's a message and a warning to the body of Christ today. The message, this is a message and a warning for the church to be ready, to be sober, and to be alert. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, who are we of? We are of the day. That means that we are the polar opposite of the world. We are of the day. Listen, I want you to get that in your spirit. You are not supposed to be like the world. I don't care what any preacher has to say about it, but we are to be the opposite of the world. We are children of the day. We are not children of the night. But since we are children of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet of the hope for salvation. The hope of salvation. Helmet, there's a hope. What are you hoping in? What are you waiting on? What are you looking for? When things get bad, listen. Guys, I want you to grab a hold of this. Your trials, your troubles, and your tests, you need to rejoice, because that lets you know you're not a part of this world. That let us know that my home is not here, that one of these days he's going to wipe away the tears. He's going to take away the aches. He's going to take away the pain. One of these days, I'm going to dance in his presence. One of these days, I'm going to sing for eternity. I'm going to sing praises to his name. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more pain. What are you hoping for this morning, church? Expecting. I'm looking. I don't want to be that person. I want to be working. I don't want to be that person who's frantically looking up because they like the lifestyle that they're in. And they're looking like, okay, I might have a little. But I want to be eagerly expecting him in a way that's going to bring glory to his name. Expecting. A doctor or a fireman always are ready. They'll never know when they're going to get a call in the middle of the night while they're sleeping. I'm about to wrap this up. You're going to come play. They don't know when they're going to get a call. They may get a call in the middle of the night. So they sleep with their clothes and materials ready to go. Sometimes we'll see a fire truck outside of the grocery stores where we shop. The firemen are in the store buying food, but they have the little walkie-talkie attached to their hip because they don't ever know when they're going to get a call. The same is true for the soldier. He or she will never know when they will get their orders, or when they will be attacked in the middle of the night, so they too must be ready at all times. If you'll stand this morning. We don't know when the door is going to close. Next week we're going to finish talking about these 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Give you a little insight for next week. I want to let you know something. They all were virgins. But 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. They all looked alike. But 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. They all were chosen. But 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Just like they were instructed in our text to be ready. We too must be ready. And getting ready, there's some soul searching. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to wake us up. See, because if we start to stir things up, Man, God will start to use us to a greater capacity. When we are awake, we're more alert. When you are fully awake, you can do more. Have you ever been worked on a job, a dangerous job, and you're halfway asleep? What happens a lot of times when you're halfway asleep? You find yourself injured. But when you are alert, when you are awake, when you are vigilant, you can see to do the job effectively. Amen? That's why God is wanting us to be awake. That's why there's an urgency here this morning inside of our church that we need to be awake. We need to be alert because, listen, right now, somebody is slipping into eternity. Right now, somebody don't know Jesus. It's not just about you. It's about us waking up. It's about us not being foolish, but being wise. But it's about God stirring something inside of us that we begin to see the bigger picture. We don't know the hour of his return. And more than this, the coming of the Son of Man will be at a moment that we don't expect. Wouldn't it be sad if you made it and your friend didn't? Do you care? No, really, do we care? Do we care, or do we care about us? I love my mom. I want my mom to make it. I want my dad to make it. But what about my neighbor? And Christ said that we should do what to our neighbor? Love our neighbor. The Bible says that we should pray for our enemies. Do we? I'm not trying to preach a sermon on how to get you a better job. I'm not trying to preach a sermon on how to get you more wealth and better health. You want better health? Eat better. Exercise. But if you want to be spiritually healthy, eat better. Exercise. He's coming back. Are we ready? If you'll bow your heads this morning, I just want to make a simple plea this morning. We'll let you go home. Stop for a moment and take inventory right there where you're at. My question to you this morning is, are you ready? If you die right now, would you go and be with the Lord?
Living Hope Assembly of God.